welcome to Laying the Points, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by MyBookie. I'm Anthony Amico. You can find me on Twitter at Amixta. And my co-host is Action Network writer Matt LaMarca. You can follow on Twitter at Matt LaMarca. Matt, how's it going?
I can't complain. Week two was a rough one. I know I only went 1-4 on my picks. Lost some money for sure. But I'm ready to keep it going. You know, I'm trying to stay positive. It's a long season. And I think that a lot of people who are, you know, contrarian bettors and, you know, looking to find spots, you know, sharp spots, they all seem to have rough week two. So I'm trying to stay positive and looking to stay, you know, good with my process, and hopefully we'll get some of that money back in week three.
Yeah, I mean, and it was rough for a lot of people. I mean, all five of the most popular picks in the Super Bowl contest lost. So, you know, it wasn't just us on this show. It seemed like kind of a industry-wide L taken by sharp people. So I don't feel as bad.
Yeah, you know, that information. That does weirdly make me feel a little better.
quick reminder that you can support the RotoViz Radio Network and our 10 shows per week on Patreon. By doing so, you'll gain exclusive access to RotoViz Live, our weekly Sunday morning video show, answering all your fantasy questions. Patronships start at $5 per month and provide exclusive access to RotoViz Live. That's 4 shows per month on top of the 40 podcasts that we already offer for just $5. Become a RotoViz Radio patron today and join an exclusive community of listeners, access to premium content, and of course, help the RotoViz Radio channel to continue. I will be on RotoViz Live, I believe, on Sunday. So if you can stomach listening to me for a little extra time, you know, come on by.
Let's go.
It'll be a good time. Speaking of exclusives, you can still get that 30% discount for RotoViz NFL Pass. It's not too late. We have a ton of content coming out every week. Check it out. RotoViz.com/podcast gets you that 30% discount. So be sure to do that. Let's get into week three, Matt. Of course, we know that the lines are coming courtesy of our presenting sponsor, MyBookie. We're going to start with your Jets playing Thursday night at Cleveland. You know, a typical Cleveland loss against the Saints last week.
Typical.
A typical Jets loss against the Dolphins last week.
Yep.
So we'll see who actually comes to play. Browns are favored by 3 at home, 39.5 point total. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised that this line is at 3. I honestly would have thought Browns would have been favored a little bit smaller. I just think that the public perception is that the Jets are the better team. So, you know, you factor in the 3 points for home. Like, I would have thought that the Browns would have been a little bit smaller favorites. You know, the Jets looked great in week one. They had their moments in week two as well. They outgained the Dolphins by 105 yards, but they were constantly putting their defense in bad positions. Sam Darnold had 2 interceptions. One of them was just a killer in the red zone after forcing a Dolphins turnover. So, you know, I think the Jets played better than the final score indicated in that game. But that said, the Browns have actually been impressive as well, you know, for Cleveland standards to start the season. They played the Steelers and the Saints tough, 2 teams that a lot of people thought were potential Super Bowl teams. You know, they had a tie and probably should have beat the Saints. You know, they could very easily be 2-0 right now with 2 impressive wins. So with that in mind, I guess I get why the Browns are favored by 3. Ultimately, I'm going to trust the Thursday night trends here. You know, I brought this up last week. It let me down on the Ravens, but, you know, that was a weird game where I think in retrospect, we can all kind of agree that the wrong team was favored. So Thursday night favorites in games where both teams are coming off just 4 days of rest. The favorite has gone 87-60-3 against the spread. That's 59.2% clip, 15.6% return on investment. So I'm going to continue to lean on the Thursday night favorites, and I am going to take the Cleveland Browns here.
Wow, picking against the Jets. Yeah, I mean, it's a weird game. I guess we're not really sure. Like, Darnold's a rookie, right? And he's going to do rookie things, but he's really talented, and he's going to do some really talented things. And kind of depending on who you get, you know, it's going to really change the outcome of the game, like, pretty greatly. I just don't think that Cleveland is very good. Like, I know that they do have some talent, obviously. I know that this took the Saints to the wire last week, but, like, the manner in which they lost that game and the fact that they lost that game is just so Cleveland to me. You know, and I feel like even if the Browns win, it's going to be very, very, very close. So I will take the Jets with the points. And I think that this game is going to be like a classic Thursday night football game. Just very, very bad.
Yeah, definitely. I will not be betting this game. You know, like, this is a classic stay away from me. I'm going to feel the itch on Thursday night to put a bet in one way or the other, but I'm going to do my best resist because I think this is going to be an ugly game.
Titans at Jags. The line is currently off right now. We're waiting to see what happens with Marcus Mariota. Last week, he did not play. We saw 28 pass attempts from Blaine Gabbert, the great Blaine Gabbert. I mean, I don't really know what you kind of expect from this game in terms of a line based on either quarterback, but what are just some of your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed with the way the whole situation played out last week, because on the show, I specifically said I would be interested in betting the Titans if I knew that Gabbert was going to be starting, because I thought that there would be some line inflation, but we never really got that information. You know, it was like Mariota's going to try to play, but we don't know if he's going to be able to play. Anytime the quarterback can't feel the football in his hands, though, I guess that is a problem. So
sounds bad.
Yeah, ultimately not super surprising that Mariota didn't end up playing. At this point, I would say that the Jags are going to be favored by a touchdown regardless of who's at quarterback. But if it's Gabbert, it might be, you know, closer to 10 points maybe. Again, like my interest in this game is going to come on the Titans side if Mariota is inactive. I just think that the downgrade from Mariota to Gabbert is pretty negligible at this point. You know, I'm way out on Mariota. I know that's your boy, but I haven't seen anything from him over the last couple of seasons that really tells me that the guy is ready to be like an NFL quarterback that matters at this point. The Jags were super impressive last week without Fournette, but that game was like their Super Bowl. You know, they were super geared up for the Patriots. I could definitely see this as a bit of a letdown spot. So depending on what this number comes in at, if it's a TD plus, I definitely think I'll have some interest in the Titans. But ultimately, yeah, very curious to see where the line is going to be.
Definitely a letdown spot for Jacksonville, although I do think that, like, Bortles is not that terrible. Like, I kind of think that when they throw, they do better. You know, obviously their defense is great. That doesn't really change at all. But I think, like, they did just score more points when they throw, and I feel like scoring points is obviously important.
Yes, usually leads to good things.
Right. Like, I had this conversation with my buddies. He was just like, oh, but you can't score if you turn the ball over in the red zone and you don't finish. I'm like, yeah, but you also can't score if you don't get there because you're running the ball 500 times a game. But anyway, you know, I do agree with you. Like, it sucks. Like, I'm obviously a huge Mariota guy, but, you know, never healthy. And, like, the flashes just have never culminated into, like, consistency, especially since he's always hurt. So, I do feel like Gabbert is probably not as big a downgrade as you'd think. So I do like that side again. You know, Titans have been sneaky good. I feel like that win last week is a big win for them.
Definitely a good win. I think one thing going back to your Jags point, I think their collection of weapons in the passing game is really underrated at this point.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like not a lot of big names with Keelan Cole and Dede Westbrook, Corey Grant catching passes out of the backfield. But I think all of those guys are like plus players. You know, Moncrief, probably not a plus player, but he's fine in the role that they're using him to. Same with Seferian Jenkins. So, yeah, I'm all for the Jags, you know, airing it out a little bit more. I think that would help their team, like you said.
Saints at Falcons, another division matchup. Falcons are 3-point home favorites. Total is set at 53. What do you think of this?
Yeah, you wrote about this game, which I thought was really interesting. I think you had some really sharp findings in that piece, so I'll let you talk about those. But one thing that stood out to me is when we were doing our NFC wins total podcast, we were kind of like the NFC South is, you know, wide open. We really liked the Falcons, you know, the Panthers we both like. The Saints, you know, are obviously going to be a contender, even though they haven't looked great to start this year. And Tampa Bay has been frisky. So it's not surprising to me that if we look specifically at underdogs in this division since 2014, betting the dogs would be 32-18 against the spread. That's a 64% win rate and almost 25% return on investment. So I definitely like the idea of just betting the underdogs in a division that's as wide open as we think the NFC South is. The Saints, obviously disappointment through the first 2 weeks. You know, they lost to Tampa, probably could have lost to Cleveland, who are two teams that many people predicted to be at the bottom of the standings, you know, come January. But I still think that this team is very talented, specifically on offense. I'm not ready to write them off just yet. So I will take the 3 points here with the underdog Saints.
Seems like a good read for sure. You mentioned my article. I mean, the big takeaway there for the Falcons is just that, like, their cover three defense really funnels a lot of passes to the running backs. So we saw last week Christian McCaffrey took a big-time advantage of that, had a huge day, and, you know, the Panthers obviously played pretty well. You know, this week Alvin Kamara, definitely not any slouch in the passing game either. So I'm sure he's going to be super active. But if you just look at the way that these two teams played each other last year, both times the game went under. Neither game even made it to 40 total points, which I think is surprising because, you know, we usually associate these two teams with having high-powered offenses.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the Falcons just don't give up big plays. I mean, they're towards the bottom of the league in big plays allowed, 20 yards or more in the passing game. And the Saints have been, you know, by far the best team in 20-plus yard plays. So the defense has definitely kind of won these battles recently. We'll see if that continues this year. But I think if I'm going to take a side in this game, I think I'm going to go under on the total. So that's where I'm leaning.
Yeah, I think that's a really sharp lean. It's already dropped by half a point, and virtually all the bets and money have come in on the over. So I think that this is going to be a really nice contrarian spot to look at an under between, you know, like you said, two teams that are perceived to be really high-powered offenses.
All right, Bills at Vikings. Bills finally getting the they may be absolutely terrible spread line here. Vikings minus 17. I mean, if this is the spread, I thought this was the spread we were going to get last week, you know. 41-point total. I mean, Vikings have been really good, I feel like. They've been as advertised. What do you make of the game here?
Yeah, you got to feel bad for the Bills, man. They have not had any favors done to them at the start of the season. You know, opening up in Baltimore against the Ravens, then against the Chargers, and now against the Vikings. Those are three of the best units in football, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So really rough start for a team that, you know, is really lacking on the offensive side of the ball and looking for an identity. There haven't been a lot of underdogs of at least 17 points in the BetLabs database, which goes back to 2003. But those underdogs are 7-6-1. So they are covering, you know, at an over 50% clip. I did think the Bills looked a little bit better last week with Josh Allen under center as opposed to Nathan Peterman. Much of that didn't really start happening, though, until they were, you know, significant underdogs against the Chargers. They were down, you know, 21-0 in that game in the blink of an eye. So I do think that this might be a couple of points too high. I will take the Bills, but there's no way in hell I would actually put any real money on them.
Yeah, you just can't, right? I mean, the Vikings have one of the best defenses in football. I think that's really what, like, exacerbates this issue for me. Like, last week when they played the Chargers, I was like, okay, Chargers are coming to the East Coast. The Chargers defense isn't really that good.
Right, no Bosa.
No Bosa. But, like these teams couldn't be more polar opposite. You know, the Vikings are plus 24 in offensive DVOA versus Buffalo defensive DVOA, and the Bills offense is minus 25 in that same metric. So huge discrepancy in overall player talent. We may not have Shady McCoy in this game. Josh Allen is probably as poor as we think he is. And even if he was good, we wouldn't know because of the weapons. So I guess I'd take Vikings, but like you said, I would just never bet a 17-point game. Like, never. I just can't do it.
I even struggle to look at those games in college where they're, like, routine. Like, you get 17-point spreads routinely in college football, and they still make me feel uncomfortable. So there's no way I would do it in an NFL game.
Broncos at Ravens. Baltimore is a 5-point home favorite. Total's at 43.5. I feel like these are two, you know, laying the points brand teams. They play each other this week. What do you think?
They're definitely two of my teams. Neither of them made me look very smart last week, though. You know, the Ravens got trounced in Cincinnati. Like, that game really wasn't as close as the final score indicated. Cincinnati pretty thoroughly dominated them. And then the Broncos really struggled against Oakland, needed a last-second field goal to put that game away. So, yeah, two teams that I still am high on, but not coming off very impressive showings. A couple of things that I'm taking into consideration. This is a west-to-east game. You know, the Ravens are an East Coast team playing at 1 p.m. Eastern time. Broncos are in the Mountain time zone, not the Pacific, but hasn't made a huge difference. Mountain teams going east 47-55-1 against the spread. So that's a negative 9.1% return on investment. And I still like the Ravens at home. They're historically 62-55-4 against the spread at home in our database, although that number has weakened a bit over the past few seasons, which is not surprising considering how much money they're paying Joe Flacco. I really struggled to pick a winner in this game, but I think, you know, going off of the Action Network power rankings and what I feel about these two teams, I think this spread might be 1 point too high. So I will take the Broncos here getting the points. I think if it was Ravens minus 3.5, though, I would take the Ravens for sure. So tough one for me. It's a bit of a stay away, but I will take the 5 points with the Broncos.
I'm going to take the Baltimore side, but I don't feel great about it. I mean, the big thing for me with Denver is just their defense has not been nearly as good as we expected. They've been fantastic against the run, fourth in rush DVOA, but against the pass, just 24th. You know, I think that this was a team last year when they had Aqib Talib, you know, their secondary, which is a lot better. And, you know, they still have the weapons. They still have the pieces to get a really nice pass rush. But I just don't think their defensive backs are as good. You know, they just gave up a pretty sizable game to Amari Cooper. I just don't really, you know, when I look at Baltimore this year, the thing that really stands out to me is Joe Flacco. He's been really good. And they've been kind of throwing the ball all over the field. So I expect that to continue, or I hope that continues. And if it does, I feel like that is going to lend itself towards Baltimore being able to grab a nice victory here. So I'm going to take them. I do wish that it was a little lower, like you said, but even at five, I'm going to take the Ravens. Colts at Eagles. Philly, minus 6.5 at home. A little surprised by this one. Total's 47.5. We are getting Carson Wentz back this week. No Mike Wallace, he's out, but the Eagles did sign Jordan Matthews, if you're a JMAT fan like myself. But what do you think of the game?
Yeah, to me, the Mike Wallace thing is pretty irrelevant, and it's surprising to me how all of a sudden people are talking about, you know, how the Eagles have a lack of weapons, you know, given all their injuries. But I think there's a chance that Jai plays. I think there's a chance that Sproles plays. And are we really that concerned about the status of Mike Wallace? You know, like, Mike Wallace hasn't been good in 5 years. Alshon Jeffery also has an outside shot to play this week. So I'm not particularly worried about the Eagles' lack of weapons. You know, they've been fine with Aguilar and Zach Ertz. It's more been the defense. You know, they got shredded by Ryan Fitzpatrick last week. So, but I think this is basically the overreaction spread of the week. The look-ahead line had this at 7. The Eagles hopped down to only favored by 6 at certain points this week. So I think the public definitely has some interest in the Colts. You know, they were 6-point dogs last week and ended up beating the Redskins by 2 full touchdowns. So I think people are definitely buying the Andrew Luck resurgence. I'm not there yet. I still think that the Eagles are really, you know, the superior team at virtually every position in this matchup. And I think that the Wentz to Foles upgrade, or I'm sorry, Foles to Wentz upgrade is bigger than we initially thought. You know, that run that Foles went on during the Super Bowl is looking like a pretty big outlier for his career. Carson Wentz was on his way to being the MVP last season before he got hurt. So I definitely think the Eagles offense should be better in this game if he's not limited. And the coaching staff has said that he'll have no limitations. So give me the Eagles here, laying 6.5 at home. I think that, you know, this is maybe a point or even more of spread value in their favor. So I like Philly.
Yeah, I'm surprised that this is so low. Like, the Colts have pretty much never shown us that they're good. And Wentz, if Foles was the quarterback in this game, what would the spread be, like 4? So, like, you're saying Carson Wentz is only worth 2.5 points? Like, I just don't.
Well, I mean, the look ahead line was 7, and that was before knowing that Wentz was going to be active for this game. So I don't think that the line is pricing much of a difference at all between the two quarterbacks.
Right, which seems egregious.
Yeah, I don't agree with that at this point.
So I'm with you. We'll take Philly. Bengals at Panthers, 44-point total. Carolina, a home favorite by 3. You know, Bengals coming off, obviously, an impressive home victory last week, but now they go on the road to Carolina. What do you think?
Yeah, give me the Panthers here for sure. I still buy them as the better team, despite what Cincinnati has done. We have them as nearly a full point better in the TAN power rankings. I even think that might be too low. I think the Panthers might be, you know, better than the Bengals by even a more significant margin than that. So when you factor in the home field, I definitely feel like there's some value with the Panthers minus 3. This is one of the ones that I like this week. I like the Panthers a lot.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, Carolina, again, like only a 3-point favorite. So we're saying that they are the same, like they're equal in a neutral site. Like, I don't really buy that. I know that the Bengals have been impressive, but I mean, they still, I think, struggle at times to move the ball on offense. They have no Joe Mixon. You know, I'm not a huge running backs guy, so maybe that doesn't matter a ton, but it is something. And, you know, they kind of have like this rotisserie wheel at wide receiver too. You know, some John Ross hasn't really like completely taken off. Tyler Boyd looked good last week, but overall just kind of.
Boyd's been good. Really, I think Boyd's a good player.
Yeah. It's just like you don't really know what you're going to get every week out of these guys because they don't, you know, they're not always targeting them.
Right.
You know, meanwhile, Carolina, I feel like, still has a lot of offensive upside in the tank because DJ Moore hasn't really been on the field much. Last week he got on the field, he caught a pass, and he scored a touchdown. So I feel like there's a little untapped value there for them. The Greg Olsen thing doesn't really matter a ton to me. So I'm with you. Give me the Panthers.
Do you think it's possible that they're leaning a little too much on Christian McCaffrey at this point? Like, I know you want to get him involved in the passing game, but the fact that he has a market share of like 35% feels minus EV to me at this point.
Well, remember, though, that last week they played that Falcons team we were talking about earlier. That funnels a lot of receptions to the running back position. So like his like 15 target, 14 catch game last week, not terribly surprising based on the matchup. And then if you look at, you know, week one, McCaffrey was active, but not as crazy active, you know, 9 targets. So, I mean, that's, he's going to be active in the passing game. He's going to be involved. He's going to do it out of the slot too, not just out of the backfield. I do agree that you're going to want to push the ball down the field at some point.
Yeah, I'd like to see more Funchess.
Yeah, but it feels like Norv's big thing is completions, which feels like a Norv thing, you know? But eventually, yeah, they're going to have to start pushing the ball down the field a little bit. I'm not sure that this is the matchup for that, though, by the way, because this is kind of like another cover 3 team. Their corners are pretty good. So we'll kind of see what happens. But, yeah, I mean, I think to beat good teams, like to win against like the best teams, the NFC and like the Patriots, teams like that, and the AFC, you're going to need a vertical threat for sure. I think that it's going to be DJ Moore, though, once they get him out there for more snaps.
I know you love DJ Moore.
My son. I have a lot of sons. I have a lot of NFL children.
We're about to talk about one here.
Oh, yeah. 49ers at Chiefs. Mahomes the GOAT. I mean, I can't believe the game he had last week. 6.5-point home favorite for the Chiefs, 56.5-point total. I mean, this was one of the teams we talked about in the offseason, Matt, where we were like, you know, the win total had a lot of potential value in it if Mahomes was good. And he's been really good. So it seems like the value has definitely been there. But we'll see if they can continue that this week. What do you think about this matchup?
Yeah, I mean, you are probably the person who's highest on Pat Mahomes that I personally interact with, but there's no way that even you could have seen this coming. And, you know, unsurprisingly, I think the people love the Chiefs right now. You know, Mahomes is the greatest QB to ever play the game. Their offense is going to challenge the Patriots from 2007. Let's just cancel the season and give them the Lombardi trophy already. But yeah, so in all seriousness, I think that the 49ers here have a lot of value getting 6.5. They opened up at 5.5-point dogs, and it's already all the way up to 6.5. If this gets to 7, I am all in on the 49ers getting 7 points. They haven't exactly wowed people yet this season, but They had a brutal week one matchup versus Minnesota, and they did put up 30 last week against Detroit. Probably should have won that game by double digits, but ended up giving up a garbage time type of score to give me my only win last week with Detroit plus six. So I like the 49ers here. I think that this is a classic overreaction to the first 2 weeks of the season. You know, like the Chiefs kind of did the same thing to start the season last year. So I'm not going to buy in all the way on them. I still think that they're a great team, but I'm not ready to consider them like the best team in the AFC, which is basically what this spread is saying.
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on this game because obviously I am the driver of the Pat Mahomes fan bus.
Driver.
But there's just no way he's going to be this good all year. Like, you know, like this is the exact same thing we saw last year with Deshaun Watson. Like it just doesn't, you can't sustain like an 85 touchdown pace over the course of the
year. I was going to say, you're going on the record to say that he will not throw 80 touchdowns this year.
And kind of the other thing that gets lost in the wash is that their defense is absolute dog shit.
Right.
So yeah. Like I feel like the Chiefs are going to have a harder time stopping the 49ers than the 49ers will stopping the Chiefs. I mean, the total obviously reflects that it'll be a really high scoring game. I buy that. But like you said, like this is what Andy Reid does. Like Andy Reid is really, really good at coming up with game plans. Like last year, the first couple weeks when their offense was really clicking, they were running a lot of really cool stuff, and they were running a lot of stuff that fit what Alex Smith did really well. And they're doing the same thing this year. And I think that their offense overall is more talented because they added Sammy Watkins. And I think Mahomes is better than Alex Smith, but you know, eventually teams are going to get enough film on your offense where they can actually start game planning. And I'm sure that there are things that the Chiefs are doing now that they didn't do last year because Mahomes has not, I mean, you can say better or worse, but clearly different physical capabilities than Smith did. So, you know, the jury's going to be out on, you know, the book's going to be out on them pretty soon. And then it's going to be up to Reed to kind of counter that. He hasn't really done a great job of that in his time as a head coach, even though he certainly has been able to, you know, to run some scoring offenses. So I think that the line here is too high. Certainly, I will take the 49ers. If it gets to 7, I will rebet. But I will take the Niners now, even at 6.5.
The NFL always catches up, right? Remember when Chip Kelly broke the NFL and everyone thought that it was going to change the way football was played? And, you know, obviously they are still doing a lot of that stuff, the read option and, you know, RPOs, but Chip Kelly didn't last. So they always find something.
You got to find the next thing. That's where a lot of these guys fail, is they kind of, they find the new thing and then they just rest on their laurels. And in 3 years, they're figured out and they're done. So you got to keep grinding. Now, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually it's been what team to bet on this week. Typically, I tell them to bet the opposite of what I say because the picks have not been hot so far. And, you know, the truth of the matter is I don't really know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out my bookie. I mean, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. I would even say maybe who you're betting with is more important because you want to get the right spreads. You want to get the good lines. You want to get the most value you can. And, you know, people who want to do that are going to bet at my bookie. It is absolutely your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews, and their mobile site is easy to use. You guys know by now that I would only recommend a service to my listeners. It's been good to me. That's why you need to make your way over to MyBookie. You win and they pay fast without any hassles. In-game live betting, over-unders on fantasy points scored, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and a lot of really fun props, Matt, which we've already gotten our hands dirty on. You know, I already won 4-1 on Kenny Stills being the WR1 for Miami in week one. You've got a big bet on Ryan Fitzpatrick. What's the line? 400 yards and 4 touchdowns?
The most ridiculous line in the history of bookmaking. If I lose this bet, I'm quitting. I'm just letting you. I'm quitting. But yeah, he has to throw for over 400 yards and at least 4 touchdowns for me to lose this bet. I mean, I'm laying 4-1, but that still feels pretty ridiculous. So yeah, if you want to, you know, try and find bets like that, my bookie is definitely the place for you.
Yeah, just a lot of fun, a lot of really good stuff. And, you know, the same offer that we gave you last week, it's still out there. My bookie is slammed with new bettors, hopefully new bettors just like you. If you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time, you're going to get an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. That's just free. Just for waiting, you know, wait a little bit, wait till you have your dinner. and make a deposit and you get some more money. It's a no-brainer. And MyBookie is already matching your deposit dollar for dollar for using the promo code RotoViz. So do that. Deposit after 7 p.m. Use promo code RotoViz and, you know, just get big return on your deposit. Enter promo code RotoViz. It's up to you guys, but I'd wait until after dinner. Take that extra money. You play, you win, you get paid. MyBookie.ag.
Yes. And if you want the extra $25, you have to add 25 to the end of RotoViz. So if you do it after 7 p.m., the promo code is RotoViz25. You get the 100% match and the extra $25. I definitely think that that's the way to do it.
I love it. Where you play, you win, and you get paid. Packers at Redskins. 45.5 point total. Packers are a road favorite here by 3 points. You know, another gritty performance last week by Rodgers ended in my least favorite NFL outcome, which is a tie. You know, what do you think will happen this week?
Yeah, I mean, Rodgers, third most profitable QB in the BetLabs database. So it's not surprising to me that he's one of the rare QBs who has been pretty good as a road favorite, 28-22 against the spread. That's a 56% win rate and a 10.4% ROI. I'm going to take Rodgers on the road. I'm not betting this game. I told myself after last week that I'm only betting road favorites from now on if I have a really strong feel about it. And I just don't with this Packers game. I think they're the side that I prefer. You know, I don't think the Redskins are a particularly good team. They, you know, beat up on an Arizona team that I think is awful and then got curb stomped by Indiana. So, I think the Packers are the side that I like here, but again, this is a stay away from me.
I think I like Washington here. I mean, big surprise, I guess, that I'm picking against Aaron Rodgers. Although I'm not like, I'm at a point where I respect the game. I just don't like him. Like, I think that's fair. But anyway, you know, the Packers have been kind of like a middle of the road offense so far. I think that the injury certainly limits him. I think particularly with pushing the ball down the field, he's got to drive off that leg. And Washington defensively has actually been pretty good. They're fourth so far in pass DVOA, 28th against the run. So that's kind of like the perfect defense to be.
Aaron Jones, baby. It's time.
Yeah, it comes off suspension. I'm pretty happy, excited about that. But this is kind of like the perfect defense to play if you're facing the Packers, because they've never really shown that they're going to beat you on the ground. Like they're going to beat you with Rodgers through the air. And, you know, Washington can get after the quarterback a little bit. I think that matters, especially given the injury and the fact that Rodgers probably isn't going to be as mobile as a result. So I actually kind of like the Redskins here. I mean, I don't think that Washington is like an amazing football team, but, you know, as long as that Packer offensive line keeps playing as poorly as they are, and as long as, Rodgers, I think, is a little hobbled, I'm going to kind of just take the home dog here and go with Washington.
If it was a half a point higher, I'd join you. But I don't know. I honestly think that the Packers by three is like what I think is the most likely outcome.
Sure. Redskins, by the way, min price defense this week on DraftKings. But we'll talk about that on the other show.
No, thank you.
Raiders at Dolphins. The Fish are 3-point home favorites. One of the more surprising teams this year, just in terms of results. But we'll see if that holds against John Gruden's team. 43.5 point total. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, this is honestly a really surprising one to me. I know the Dolphins have only played the Titans and the Jets, and that opening game against the Titans was, you know, affected by weather for large stretches, multiple rain delays. But the Dolphins are 2-0. The Raiders have not been good. They blew a game last week against Denver, and this is a West Coast team coming east for a 1 p.m. game. So I would have thought that the Dolphins would have had another, you know, point of spread equity here. Like, I would have probably set this line personally at Dolphins -4. So I'm going to go ahead and trust the trends on the West Coast teams coming east. I'm going to take the Dolphins, but I am a little bit skeptical of this spread. Like I'm thinking maybe it's a trap. I'll be interested to see what the public betting looks like and what the line movement looks like on this game, but at the current point in time, I like the Dolphins -3.
I'm going with it's a trap, and I'm taking John Gruden here to get off the deck and finally get us a dub Good. At least against the spread.
I need the Dolphins to start losing because I bet they're under on their win total. So
no, same.
Let's go, John. Get these boys going.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't buy that Miami is that good. I mean, you said it. Week one, they beat the Titans in a game with 35 rain delays. There were lightning delays. Last week, they beat your Jets coming off of a huge win on Monday night against Detroit. So I kind of feel like we don't really know who the Dolphins are still, and I kind of feel like they are who we thought they were.
We let them off the hook.
Exactly. And we're not going to let them off the hook on my bookie. We're going to take the Raiders +3. So that's where I'm at. I mean, I just don't think that the Dolphins have any answer for Amari Cooper. I don't think that they have the offensive skill players to consistently take advantage of the Raiders on defense. They're just kind of eh. And I don't really like to bet at teams.
I love betting on teams, but typically they're underdogs and they're getting more than 3 points. So, yeah, this is a really tough game to handicap. I think we agree on that.
Giants at Texans. I mean, there's nothing left to be said about Big Blue. They're terrible.
There's plenty to say.
There's going to be bad for a long time. Texans are 6-point home favorites, rightfully. The total is at 42. The Giants don't know what to do on offense. They still stink on defense. I don't know. You talk about them.
Yeah, they buried me last week. I really like them headed into that game with the Cowboys. I thought the Cowboys were a severely overrated team, and I still think that they are. But the Giants just look brutal, and it looks like Shurmur has no real idea what he's doing. I mean, the guy chose to punt it on 4th and inches from the 50-yard line. And then 2 possessions later, he has the ball on his own 30 and 4th and a full 1. And at that point, he decides, you know what? I'm going to go for it. Like, I just don't, I honestly like the aggressiveness the second time, but I just don't know what changed. Like, why wouldn't you go for it the first time if you were going to go for it in that situation? So it seems to me like he's just making up what he wants to do on the fly. The offensive line, even though, you know, overhauling it was a real point of emphasis during the offseason, it doesn't appear to have shown any real improvements. I mean, I personally have been saying all offseason that I thought Nate Solder was a clear overpay. I get why they did it, but it doesn't appear to be making any sort of improvements on the line at this point. The guard, I think, is pretty good. But, you know, again, like, Eli was under siege all game, which is a big reason why Saquon Barkley had like a million targets. So, yeah, basically, I have lost all faith in the Giants. The Texans didn't win against the Titans, but I think that result was a bit fluky. They outgained the Titans by more than 150 yards. They gave up a special team score on a fake punt. Deshaun Watson has been markedly better with Will Fuller in the lineup. You know, he threw for over 300 yards and a couple of scores last week. So I think that Deshaun Watson should be able to move the ball against the Texans, and I just don't think the Giants are going to be able to pass protect Eli in this situation. Like, if the Texans have watched any film of the game last week, they should just be blitzing unrelentlessly against the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, just stop letting the Patriots fucking own you, NFL. Like, stop answering the phone when they call you about trades. Stop signing the players that they don't want to re-sign. Like, it just never works out. It just never works out. And Nate Solder is going to be another example of that. Even if he ends up being decent, they probably overpaid. So, yeah, I mean, I'm totally with you on that. I think that the Giants, you know, Shurmur looks like Cleveland Shurmur, not Viking Shurmur. I think it's really, really possible that, you know, you just got lucky enough to be the coach of a team with a really good offense and, you know, kind of rode his way back to a head coaching spot. So obviously I'm feeling great as a Giants fan. The split you mentioned with Watson really holds true. I mean, obviously he's still started 9 games, but the 5 games he's played with Fuller, he's averaging 9.5 yards per attempt. The 4 games without Fuller, he's averaging just 6 yards per attempt.
Oh, baby.
So really dramatic splits there. You know, not sure if something like that is going to remain constant at that much width, but obviously having the field stretcher in the lineup, it makes a really big difference. And the Giants have literally never, I would say they are 0 and infinity against mobile QBs. So I will certainly take the Texans plus minus six.
Can I check that in the Bet Labs database?
I wish.
I would love to
minus
see
-100% ROI. all right, well, let's talk about a couple of teams that are better than the Giants. Chargers at Rams. Rams are 7-point home favorites. They have, I would say that they've been as advertised from the moves that they made in the offseason. Total here is 48. Two really good running backs in this game, and Melvin Gordon's been awesome. So, what do you think of this?
Austin Eckler.
Yeah, right.
I'm assuming that's the second one that you're referring to.
Of course, of course.
Listen, this is my favorite game of the week. I love the Chargers at 7. I've already locked it in. I want to make sure that I get it at 7. I don't want to risk it falling to 6.5. So I'm locking it in right now. The Rams have looked great in the first 2 weeks. They've been dominant. But has it really been that surprising? They've played the Raiders and the Cardinals, two teams that I have personally bet the under on their win total, two teams that I personally feel are just not good football teams. I mean, the Cardinals are going to be a disaster this year. The Bills have really stolen some shine about how bad the Cardinals have been the first 2 weeks of the season, but they are going to be awful. To me, the Rams are still very untested. This is their first real matchup against a competent NFL football team. So I love the fact that I can get 7 points with the Chargers. You know, I've been very tough on the Chargers during the offseason, but I still have to admit that this is a talented football team. I was impressed with what they did against Buffalo. I think that was a tougher spot than most people realize, you know, going west to east and covering more than a touchdown on the road. I think that this Chargers team has enough to hang with the Rams, who, you know, most people have anointed the best team in football off of 2 weeks against just crap teams. So I like the Chargers. Everybody seems to have forgotten that they were, you know, the darling pick in the AFC. I'm sticking with them. I think give me the 7 points here for sure. I like the Chargers quite a bit.
Yeah, 7 points is just a lot. Like, there's your analysis. I think that they're still pretty good. I mean, Derwin James has been really, really awesome. I still can't believe that he fell so far in the draft. The Rams have not been tested, which is definitely a fair statement to make. And it's just hard to rattle off win after win after win against teams, especially teams that have experienced quarterbacks like Phillip Rivers. So I really like what the Rams have going. I mean, there was that spot. I like what the Chargers have going here in this matchup. You know, easy to forget that the Rams at one point were trailing to the Raiders in that first game of the season. Obviously, they turned it around and won fairly convincingly. But I don't think the Chargers will make the same kind of mistakes that they've seen in the first 2 weeks. So I will take the 7. Bears at Cardinals. Bears are a 6-point road favorite here, coming off a Monday night victory against Seattle. 37.5-point total, just very, very low. Yeah. Don't expect much scoring here. What do you think of the matchup?
This is another one where I like the Cardinals. You know, I think that this is a game I will definitely have some actual dollars on. I know it's scary to bet on a team like the Cardinals, who, you know, really have not looked like a real NFL team through the first 2 weeks of the season. But are we convinced that the Bears are that good? Like, do the Bears deserve to be favored by 6 points over anybody on the road? I'm not there yet. You know, if you move this spread to like the game was being played in Chicago, do we think they would be 12-point favorites over the Cardinals? Again, I'm not there yet. Like, I don't think that the Bears are that good of a football team. I Trubisky has been very hit or miss, I think, through the first 2 weeks. You know, he had two interceptions against the Seahawks. He really shut down in the second half against the Packers. Their defense is good, and I do think they'll be able to keep the Cardinals at bay for the most part, but I just think that this is a big-time overreaction to the first 2 weeks of the season, and I will gladly take the Cardinals getting 6 points at home.
Yeah, me too. I mean, the big thing here, if you look at the matchup, and obviously a big part of the reason why the spread is so low, or the total so low, Chicago 25th in pace, and the Cardinals are dead last. And actually, they have been just absurdly slow.
Well, they've been trying to end games in the second half. They've been trying to just get out of the building.
But, I mean, the nice thing for Arizona is that their coaches have finally, you know, they finally looked up David Johnson's career statistics and background and understand that they have to get him some slot targets. So I think that that'll help their offense a decent amount, getting their best player the ball more often. And, you know, the big thing is just exactly what you said, like who the hell are the Bears to be 6-point road favorites against anyone? Like, that game last weekend was just a slap fight between two really bad teams. That's what it looked like to me. And, you know, Chicago proved to us in week one that they weren't quite ready to win. You know, blood was in the water when Aaron Rodgers went down and they couldn't capitalize. So I don't really think that the Bears are that good. I do believe in kind of like what they're doing. I just think it's too early. You know, they're not ready yet. And to be a 6-point road favorite at this stage in the game, I just think is too much.
By the way, I love the fact that the Cardinals are like, okay, fine. Like, we'll do what you say, Twitter. Like, I feel like the coaching staff is just on Twitter looking for answers at this point in the season. They're like, oh, we don't know what to do. I want to take some credit on being down on David Johnson early in the offseason. I'm going to take a small victory lap on that. I think if they played him at 100%, you know, slots in the target, like, it's still going to be tough for him to score on a Cardinals offense that is this bad. So I wouldn't expect like a huge spike of his production just because they're going to play him a little bit more in the slot. But I do agree that you need to try and do different things to get the ball in his hands.
Yeah. And when are we seeing Rosen, by the way?
At this rate, very soon. I'll tell you, if the Cardinals don't cover this spread, I would say next week, probably.
Yeah, I probably agree. Get the kid out there. I mean, Bradford is just clearly not good.
Yeah, I mean, there's a good chance he gets hurt next week anyway, so.
Sorry, Sam. Just looking at the data. Cowboys at Seahawks. Seattle, a meager 1.5-point home favorite, 41.5-point total. They were the other team in that aforementioned slap fight we were just talking about. I mean, what do you think of this? Again, this has the makings of bad football to me.
All I'm going to say is I'm not ready to quit you, Russell. I will never give up on you. I don't care if you were playing with me at tight end and Anthony at wide receiver. I think you could find a way to get it done. I love you. That's my hard-hitting analysis on this game. In all seriousness, I'm fading the Cowboys for the foreseeable future. I know they look good against the Giants, but I think that they just found a way that they thought that they could exploit them, which was relentlessly pressuring Eli Manning. Obviously, the Seahawks offensive line is not good, but they're not going to be able to get after him the same way they got after Eli. And I don't think you can count on a 65-yard Tavon Austin touchdown every week, Anthony. I'm not sure about you.
You're kidding.
But I think that the Cowboys are probably a little overvalued coming off of that win. The Seahawks, you know, they're not a team that I want to bet, but I think that they're my side here. Until Russell Wilson, like, just completely starts waving the white flag, I'm going to find a way to be on him most weeks when I think the spread is not, you know, crazy one way or the other.
Yeah, when does Russell Wilson demand a trade, right? I mean, this is just bad. Like, they had the sequence last week where, like, he kept checking out of the play call so that they called the timeout and basically told him to stop doing that. And he was pissed off because, you know, the stuff that he was calling at the line was working and nothing else was. So, I mean, there's definitely some drama, I think, that's building in Seattle. But you're right. Russell Wilson is still Russell Wilson, and the Cowboys still just aren't that good. Beating the Giants really doesn't impress me. So I will take the birds at home. And I will probably just keep that money in my pocket and spend it on some other games.
Yeah.
Pats at Lions. Patriots are -6.5. We have a 52.5-point total. I mean, I'll start with this one. Patriots coming off a loss have just been really good. Since 2003, they are 32-10 against the spread when coming off of a straight-up loss. That's 20-4 on the road, which they are here. So very impressive there. Yeah, I would imagine that the difference there is you get a little extra spread value from them being on the road. And over the last five seasons, they are 12-2 against the spread after a straight up loss. Both of those losses came in 2015. It was actually, both were straight up losses. They just lost back to back games twice. So, very rare occurrences, obviously, for the Patriots. They cover the spread in these situations with great regularity. So I certainly feel as though they will here against Matt Patricia. I think I really also enjoy the Bill Belichick against his
former assistant coach narrative.
Yeah, he definitely always used to love to beat the pants off Mangini. So I tend to agree with you. I will not bet the Patriots, you know, as a touchdown favorite on the road, you know, which means that they'll probably cover because they cover, you know, the majority of their games every single season. I'd feel better if, you know, he had a press conference after the game where he said, "We're on to Detroit." if he had that press conference, I would take them, you know, as high as laying 10. My biggest question is, why does Matt Patricia keep a pencil behind his ear when his play sheet is laminated? That's what's been burning my mind. I don't get it. I think that that just is him trying to throw out a vibe that he's smarter than he actually is. I'm glad that I never bought any Matt Patricia stock. If I did, I would still sell now, even though it's at an all-time low. Like, the guy just seems like a disaster. So I'll take the Patriots, but again, like, because I said that I'm trying to avoid, you know, taking public favorites and road favorites, I won't actually bet it, especially since this is a prime time game. Like, you can expect the Patriots to have a lot of money on them when this game kicks off at 8:20. So that's my one concern, is that the, you know, the books don't lose those games, you know, too often. But I do think that the Patriots are probably the correct side here, given the trends that you've mentioned.
Yeah. And I mean, Matt Patricia is really smart. He's like a NASA level, like, engineer, I'm pretty sure. Like,
I know plenty of guys who pass tests that don't make them smart. All right.
But yeah, I mean, the pencil thing is weird. And I'm going to continue to ride Bill. So let's go to Monday Night Football, where we have, I mean, I think both of these primetime games are going to be really excited, like, really fun to watch. Steelers at Bucks. Pittsburgh is a 1-point road favorite. Total's 53.5. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick has been one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
What a flex by him last week.
Huge flex.
Showing up at the press conference in DeSean Jackson's outfit just because he wanted to flex and show off his chest hair. Like, yeah, that was great. I'm loving Fitzmagic right now, even though I have money on him going down this week. But just a joy to watch him these first 2 weeks.
By the way, Fitzmagic is being trademarked. Fitzmagic is being trademarked, and not by Ryan Fitzpatrick, by Minka Fitzpatrick on the Dolphins. What kind of crime is that, right?
Crime. Somebody, you know, if I was Ryan Fitzpatrick's lawyer, I'd be looking to sue for, I don't know what the word I'm thinking of is. It can't be trademark infringement because he doesn't already have it, but like, he's
using his likeness.
Yes. Yeah. Something like that. He's not Fitzmagic. Come on, Minka. Yeah. Chill out.
That's what I'm saying. But I mean, in terms of the game, I mean, both of these defenses have been porous, I would say, over the first couple of weeks. And both have been really high in pace. Pittsburgh are eighth in neutral pace. The Bucks number one overall. You know, both of these offenses have pretty significant advantages over the opposing defenses in terms of current DVOA, plus 20 or better. So I think we can definitely expect to see all the scoring. I kind of like Pittsburgh to get on the board with a dub, but you know, I think I feel probably a little more confident on the total side.
I can't believe how much the public is buying Tampa Bay right now. 62% of the spread tickets that have come in so far have taken Tampa Bay, which is remarkable to me. The sharps, unsurprisingly, are not convinced, which is why 57% of the money has been on Pittsburgh. But I just don't see it. Like, I think this is another, you know, overreaction to the first 2 weeks of the season. Like, if this game got played in week one, how big of a favorite would the Steelers be here? 4 points, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
Like, I think we're definitely getting some spread value here. I don't believe Ryan Fitzpatrick is the second coming of Brett Favre at this point in his career. Like, we have a large enough sample size to know that Ryan Fitzpatrick is an average quarterback in this league. Like, he's feasted 2 weeks. You know, he's particularly gotten some unreal results when throwing to DeSean Jackson. He hasn't thrown an incompletion to Jackson yet. And he's averaging, like, I don't know, at least 30 yards a catch. So that seems like it can't be sustainable. The Steelers have really underwhelmed, but I still think that they're way better than they've played. I mean, this is a team that a lot of people pick to win the AFC. certainly one of the more talented teams in the AFC, especially on offense. Like, I think that the Steelers have to win this game. So I will take the Steelers minus one. It's a road favorite, which makes me hesitant, but I think that they're the correct side in this game.
All right, let's get to the book it. My bookie picks of the week. Matt, you were 1-4 last week, but you are still 5-5 overall. I, of course, went 0-5 last week, so I'm starting off very, very poorly, 1-8-1. Gonna try to get it back this week, though. Matt, what's your five?
So Chargers plus 7, that's my favorite pick of the week. I'm already in for multiple units, and there's a good chance that I add on. I really like the Chargers. I can't stress that enough. I'm also taking the 49ers plus 6.5, the Cardinals plus 6, the Saints plus 3. And my last spot, I debated between the Panthers and the Eagles, but ultimately I am going to take the Panthers minus 3 over the Bengals. So my five picks are Chargers plus 7, 49ers 6.5, Cardinals 6, Saints 3, Panthers minus 3.
All right, I like it. We have a couple games of overlap. We're both on the Niners and the Cardinals. But my three games that are different, I have Pats minus 6.5. I will take the Eagles minus 6.5. And I like the under in New Orleans and Atlanta for the reasons I mentioned before. So hopefully I can get back on the win bus and make a season out of this.
This is the week, baby. You know, I think that this is a prime week to take advantage. You know, I mean, it was a big trend in all of my analysis. Like, don't be the guy that overreacts to the first 2 weeks of the season. You know, it's the NFL is definitely a small sample size sport. You know, we only see these teams 16 times before the playoffs start, you know, which is compared to baseball where you see each team 162 times. It's roughly a tenth of the regular season. So teams can have wildly statistically outlier seasons. You know, like, don't think that just because a team looked great or looked poor for 2 weeks, that that means that that's how their season's going to go. I think that can happen occasionally, of course, but I think if you, you know, stick to your guns, stick to what you believed about these teams, you're going to be proven right in the long run more times than not. So I feel good about this week. Let's get that money, Anthony.
Let's do it. And that's going to do it for this edition of Laying the Points, brought to you by MyBookie. Please be sure to subscribe to your rate and review the show on iTunes or your favorite podcast app and get that deposit bonus on MyBookie for using promo code RotoViz. Or RotoViz 25 if you're going to deposit after 7 p.m. for the additional $25 of free play. For Matt LaMarca, I'm Anthony Amico. May the odds be ever in your favor.